Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 114 for the April 2017 previews. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews you might find interesting. We've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Everyone's encouraged to send in clips each and every month, or as often as you can, but send in clips about items you think other people might enjoy. That's how we determine what's interesting. What's interesting to me may be interesting to somebody else. It may not be for everybody. But if we have enough different people sending in, and I think we've got a ton of people doing it these days with a bunch of different clips, hopefully everybody can find something they're interested in. Because there are thousands of items in previews each and every month, and I mean literally thousands. It's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. Believe me, I know. I can't tell you how many times I realize, ooh, I nearly forgot to order this or something. Or, you know, I always end up changing my order a bit during these episodes, which is, of course, the whole point of them. Now, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews, working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights. And again, those highlights are picked by the listeners. I've tossed in a couple of clips and stuff like that. So if you enjoy this episode, if you've got something that you want to promote, even if you're a publisher, a creator, a marketing person for a company or whatever, open submission policy. Send stuff in. This is where we're trying to get the listeners of the Comic Book Page podcast aware of what's out there in a couple of months so they can get it pre-ordered, because like it or not, the comic industry is a pre-order business. So with that, let's get going.
This is Tarkasel from Phoenix, Arizona, with my only pick of the month, and there's a reason for that. And the pick of the month this month is the printed previews catalog, in this case issue 343, and you can find it on page 1 through 636 plus supplemental materials in your current previews catalog. All right, so why am I picking previews catalog? I have been purchasing or sometimes getting for free the previews catalog for at least, 2017? At least 17 years, probably more. I love getting the printed version. I love paging through the previews catalog. I know that everyone can go out there and check everything out online by going to the different company releases each month. But to me, if I were to depend on going online, I would never do it. I just do so much web surfing and reading and everything online that I would just not keep myself organized. And there's just nothing better than paging through this big, colorful catalog, getting the ink on your fingers, and reading through everything to determine what it is you want to order for a few months out. I really love the previous catalog. Why is this my only pick? Well, I went to WonderCon last week, and in going to WonderCon, I didn't pick up my Wednesday books. I didn't pick them up until this Wednesday, and so I really don't have time to thumb through the previews catalog since I've only got a few days before the recordings need to be submitted. But I wanted to submit something, and I did want to give a little bit of love out to the previews catalog. I'll be crossing my fingers because very, very soon I'll find out if I'm shut out of the San Diego Comic-Con for the first time in 12 years. That'll end my 12-year streak unless I can make it through the general purchasing of the Comic-Con this coming Saturday. And if I do, then I may be in the same boat again because I just need to page through this beautiful book, and I just won't have time to do so to decide what I want to record about. But that's okay. I think previews should get a little bit of love for putting together this really great, relatively inexpensive catalog that I can go through, rip out pages that I'm interested in having my comic shop hold for me, rip out pages that I'm interested in talking about on this show, and then tossing away because, no, I don't collect these. I look at them, and then I say goodbye to them. And goodbye to you, everyone. Have a great month.
The actual solicit for the June 2017 previews is on page 29 of the previews catalog. It's got, actually, I guess the covers of this one there, because they haven't figured out what the covers for that one's going to be. And then on page 30, they've got the consumer order form, Game Trade magazine, the Marvel previews and such, and the previews graphic novel summer guide for 2017. So the previews publications are always listed in here. Again, I really recommend getting the previews. If you want it, you know, just the online solicits are good for you. That's great. But I too like having a catalog to page through just so I don't forget to go check out what a particular publisher is doing or something. Or this is a great way to find new publishers. So for me, the printed catalog works great. I've been getting it and the precursor to it, or not the precursor, but the Capital City version of it prior to going to a store that dealt with Diamond. I've been getting it for ages. I mean, like decades. And yeah, I've still got them all because that's just the kind of guy I am. So again, great recommendation. Todd, thanks for sending it in.
Hey guys, hope everybody's having a great April, and it's previews time again. I'm pretty excited. A lot of great stuff releasing in June, and this is my first pick, and I'll go ahead and get to it. It's coming from Dark Horse Comics on page 44, and it is Briggsland, Lone Wolves, number 1 of 6. Writer Brian Wood, art Mac Chater. It is going to be on sale June 14th, 32 pages, $3.99. It is being solicited as a miniseries. Now, I don't know if you know, but Brian did a first volume of this series, Briggsland Volume 1, State of Grace. It's already out in trade. This is also being developed for a television show on AMC. The first volume was really, really well done, really good. Kind of not really post-election America, but more kind of a insight into a family and their trials and tribulations going on, where they have like this own compound, and it's kind of a almost kind of like The Godfather, except it's this family and their the power struggles within the family too, and also they're being investigated by the government, and there's federal agents involved, and they're kind of got some shady dealings, but you kind of get a lot of insight into their family. And this is going to be another mini-series, and the solicit reads as follows. Isaac Briggs, fresh off a tour in Afghanistan and struggling to reintegrate, finds solace hiking the old forest trails. When two random backpackers wander onto the land, an innocent situation quickly turns dangerous, and Isaac's military training takes a turn down a dark path. Welcome to Briggsland, nearly 100 square miles of rural wilderness, representing the largest anti-government secessionist movement in the United States. So, it's definitely been a fun series so far. Really looking forward to the return. And looks like there's definitely a plan that Brian has figured out for this series. And there's some interior art on page 45. And it is also previews Gem of the Month, one of the Gem of the Month. So, check it out. Briggsland Lone Wolves, number 1 of 6, coming from Dark Horse Comics. Releasing on sale June 14th. Check it out.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. My first pick from previews comes in the Dark Horse section on page 46 with Rebels, These Free and Independent States, number 4 of an 8-issue miniseries, written by Brian Wood, drawn by Andrea Muti, colored by Lauren Affy, and Matthew Taylor, cover artist. On sale June 28th, 32 pages for $3.99. Off the coast of New York, John Abbott finally gets his chance to accompany the USS Constitution into battle as the War of 1812 kicks off. Will he trust a captain to do right by the ship he's dedicated his adult life to building? I just received the first issue of this miniseries in my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service on Saturday and haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I did enjoy his first miniseries titled Rebels, a Well-Regulated Militia, which is available in trade paperback from Dark Horse Comics. So I'm looking forward to reading this sequel to the first miniseries, and I would highly recommend it to anyone who enjoys history as much as I do, even if it's in historical fiction, because sometimes you can explore historical events in ways that you can't do otherwise if done well. And the first Rebels miniseries was excellent at doing just that. Back to you, John.
That first volume of Rebels had somehow slipped under my radar when the first issue of this series was mentioned on a previous previews spotlight. I decided to get that, did a little research on the previous one. That looked interesting, too. I've since gotten that whole 10-issue miniseries from mycomicshop.com. Brian Wood is a very talented writer. I've been meaning to read more of his stuff, and that previous series in this one is going to be kind of, you know, me doing that. So, great pick. Thanks for sending that in.
Hey guys, it's Drew with my first pick. It is on page 47 of the Dark Horse section of previews. It is Blank Shot number 1, written by Alex DeCampi with art by Chris Cross. Not the rappers. Marcus King, modern day Robin Hood or terrorist? Maybe both. When Marcus comes face to face with an adversary who knows all of his carefully buried truths, he's forced to become the man he has always pretended to be and punch a small army of dudes and blow up stuff. Lots of stuff. This comes out June 28th and is $3.99. If it sounded somewhat interesting, please check it out on page 47 in the Dark Horse section of previews.
Hello, this is Alan from Japan, Alien Al 121 on the forums, with my first pick in this month's previews. It's from the Dark Horse section on page 49. The Shaolin Cowboy, Who'll Stop the Rain, number 3 of 4. Created by Jeff Darrow, colors by Dave Stewart and Sergio Aragones, variant cover. It's on sale June 21st, full color, 32 pages for $3.99. The solicit reads, "It ain't Arby's, but we got the meats when the Shaolin Cowboy goes to Halal and back. Caught between the cloven and the clawed, can a karate chop beat the pork chop and still win in a pinch? Hog Kong and King Crab and his band of minimum wage assassins all say no. Will our hero win by popular smote or die by the electoral carnage?" Now, there are two reasons why I'm picking this one up. First one is obvious. I pre-ordered the first two issues, and so I'm going all the way with this miniseries. The second reason is I met Jeff Darrow at a convention a couple years ago. I think it was Fan Expo in Toronto. And I enjoyed talking to him, and we talked about some of his previous work, like Giant Robot and the work he did on the Matrix series. So I'm looking forward to reading this series. Thank you.
Billy Hogan again. My second pick comes again from the Dark Horse section, this time on page 51 with Black Hammer number 10. Jeff Lemire, writer and variant cover artist, Dean Ormston, story and cover artist, and Dave Stewart, colorist. On sale June 21st, 32 pages for $3.99, and this is an ongoing series. The heroes of Spiral City have hung up their costumes and adapted to life in the sleepy town that they now call home, though some call it a prison. Instead of facing unearthly monsters and galactic threats, they deal with vengeful exes, misunderstandings, and hungry farm animals. As Abraham Slam wonders if he's hit his expiration date, a new threat emerges in Rockwood that will keep him on his toes. I just received issue 7 in my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, but I haven't had a chance to read it. But this is an excellent exploration of superhero comic books in a different way with a unique twist. Even though the characters are recognizable icons of mostly DC superheroes, I would say. And if you haven't had a chance to pick up the series yet, don't worry. Dark Horse has Volume 1 of Black Hammer titled Secret Origins also available for $14.99. I love alternate takes of superheroes, and this really fits the bill. Back to you, John.
If you're listening to this recording, that means you found my iPhone. This is Jason. I'm from Hawaii. I don't know how I got into this nightmarish landscape. You know, all I know is that I was looking through the previous catalog. I was going to record my last clip for the previous Spotlight episode. And I was looking through the DC section. you know, and it was on page 80. It was it seemed like it was a Batman one shot, you know, called Dark Days. What is that? Called Dark Days, The Forge, number one. You know, it's written by Scott Snyder and James Tynion IV. I know the art is done by Jim Lee, you know, Andy Kubert and John Romita Jr. You know, the last thing I remember was reading through the solicit, and it mentioned something about Aquaman and the Flash and some of the other Justice Leaguers suspected Batman of hiding a dark secret, you know, that could threaten the very existence of, you know, the DC multiverse. That's all I know. You know, next thing I know it, you know, I woke up and, you know, I woke up in this nightmarish landscape. You know, it seems like these things, I don't know, that flying sentry thing kind of looked familiar with some type of bat signal on top. I don't know, it just looks familiar. Oh, shit. These things are patrolling the city. You know, basically, I don't know what day this is. I don't know how long I've been here. All I know is that I was doing my recording on April 6th. And, wait, what? Gotham Gazette? It's June 14th. Gotham Gazette. Vicki Vale. Oh, my God. I think somehow or another must have crossed over into the DC Universe. Oh, man. You know, it's incredible. What is... I'm looking at... That looks like a huge Batman statue. You know what? I've seen that statue before. I think it was on the cover of the Dark Days, The Forge, number one. Oh, my God.
Dark Days, The Forge, number one on page 80 is also a comic book page pick of the month. That means we've got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. Looks like a lot of fun, and it may be playing into kind of that bigger picture kind of storyline that DC is doing. Now, whether it's, you know, really part of the Rebirth storyline or another bigger one, don't know, but I kind of like the shared universe stories. They can be a lot of fun, so I'm checking this one out, and I think you should too.
Billy Hogan again. My third and fourth picks come from the DC section on page 81 with Action Comics number 981 and 982. Written by Dan Jurgens, issue 981 art by Jack Herbert, and issue 982 art by Victor Bogdanovic, covers by Patrick Zurcher, and variant covers by Gary Frank. Revenge Part 3. Superman races to save the Suicide Squad from General Zod, Cyborg, Superman, and Eradicator. Can the Man of Steel escape the Black Vault and stop the carnage before Harley, Deadshot, and the rest of Task Force X are forced to make a final stand? And Revenge Part 4. General Zod takes command as he leads Cyborg, Superman, Eradicator, Mongul, Blank, and Metallo against Superman. But his real motives are yet to be revealed and may have far greater consequences for Superman than anyone imagines. Issue 981 on sale June 14th. Issue 982 on sale June 28th. Each issue is 32 pages for $2.99. I've really enjoyed the Rebirth Superman stories, so I have every confidence in Dan Jurgens and crew in continuing that streak. Back to you, John.
Next up on page 83 is Aquaman number 25. Okay, yeah, 24 is there too, but 25 is the one I'm excited about. We've got a new artist on the book. It's Stepan Sage. It's spelled S-E-J-I-C, but he's Croatian. He's also an incredibly talented artist. Done a bunch of work on Witchblade, on a number of other titles, Death Vigil, Sunstone. Big fan of his work. I think he'll be a really good artist for Dan Abnett, who's continuing on his writing. I've really been enjoying what they've been doing with Aquaman, so I want to see them continue with that, and looking forward to where they go with this. The title is still $2.99, but issue 25 is $3.99. It's an anniversary-sized issue, so they got a few extra pages and stuff there. Presumably, it'll go back to $2.99 with issue 26. It is a comic page pick of the month, so we got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. That helps a little bit there, making it really only about 20 cents more than issue 24. So hopefully that helps, guys. I really recommend the series again. Been enjoying what Abnett's been doing there. I think Stefan Sage is going to be a great artistic addition to this title and stuff. So check it out. Once again, that's Aquaman number 25 on page 83.
Hello, this is Alan from Japan with my second pick from this month's previews. This time, it's from the DC Comics section on page 92, and it's Detective Comics 958 and 959. These two issues will be written by James Tynion IV with art by Alvaro Martinez and Ram Fernandez. The solicits read, Intelligence, Part 1. Azrael has found a new home in Gotham City. Unfortunately, someone from his old home with the Order of St. Dumas has found him. The Order has unleashed a bizarre new evil on the world, and it's convinced it must destroy Jean-Paul Valley. Intelligence Part 2. While his team comes to grips with Azrael's past, Batman is on the trail of the shocking secret he learned at the end of last month's epic Batman-Flash crossover, The Button. And it's brought him directly to the mistress of magic, Satana. Okay, of course, I've been following these detective books since the beginning of Rebirth, and I've been enjoying them. But this time I have two reasons for wanting to mention them on the preview spotlight. And the first one is, of course, it's it'll be a good part of the Batman Flash crossover. And, of course, the mistress of magic, Satana. It's Satana, baby. She's back. I'm not sure, but I think this might be her first appearance in Rebirth. Anyway, I like the cover from what I see. She's wearing her iconic Satana costume with the top hat and the fishnets. So I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Billy Hogan again. My fifth and sixth picks this time come in the DC Comics section on page 106 with Superman issues number 24 and 25, written by Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason. Issue 24 art by Doug Monkey and Jamie Mendoza. Issue 25 art by Patrick Gleason, Doug Monkey, and others. Covers by Ryan Sook and variant covers by Jorge Jimenez. Black Dawn Part 5. The Man of Steel faces the one foe he refuses to fight, his son. An emerging new ability for Superboy proves deadly to Superman as the promise of power appears to lead John Kent to betray his father. Black Dawn Part 6. The extra-sized finale to Black Dawn reveals the villain tearing the Super Family apart and destroying everything the Man of Steel holds dear. Issue 24 on sale June 7th, 32 pages for $2.99. Issue 25 on sale June 21st, 40 pages for $3.99. If I had to pick between the two main Superman titles of Action Comics and Superman, I would have to pick Superman by a hair. I've always been a fan of legacy stories going back to the classic imaginary stories back in the 1960s. And this is what I enjoy about this current series, as the Man of Steel trains his son to hopefully inherit his cape one day. Back to you, John.
Hey guys, this is Don Fainer, a.k.a. Perseus on the forums. It's another pick in the April previews catalog. Here we're looking at in the DC section. We are on page 114 with the Legion of Superheroes Bugs Bunny Special number 1, written by Sam Humphries and Juan Ortiz, art by Tom Grummett, Scott Hanna, and Juan Ortiz, cover art by Ty Templeton. And it looks like here in the solicit says, the Legion of Superheroes always thought they had taken their inspiration from the 21st century Superboy. But when they try to bring that hero into their future time, the team discovers, to their surprise, the Cape Champion isn't who or even what they expected, and the bonus Looney Tunes backup story features DC characters, story, and art by Juan Ortiz. Yeah, so I was looking at this cover, and the cover just got me. One of my favorite Bugs Bunny cartoons is when he is Super Rabbit, and it looks like here the Legion just caught Super Rabbit instead of Superboy. And also I wanted to read a story with the Legion, because I haven't seen the Legion in a long time. So mix the Legion along with one of my favorite cartoon characters in Bugs Bunny, and well, you have a great time. So again, guys, it's $4.99. So just pre-order this one, and you get probably a pretty good discount with DCBS. And I wasn't really a big supporter of the Looney Tunes characters going along with the DC characters, but this one looks like it's going to be a great time. So guys, enjoy this one, and let's just have a great time with it. Back to you, John.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from DC. It is Supergirl Being Super number 4 on page 123 of the previews catalog. This is written by Mariko Tamaki with art by the fantastic and amazing Joelle Jones. Having her life torn to shreds and burned to ash has forced Supergirl to choose between the world she was born on and the world that adopted her. Can Kara Danvers find a way to be super? Or will she crash and burn? This is in stores at the end of June on the 28th. It is a whopping $5.99. It is prestige format, the fourth of a 4-issue miniseries that maybe you're reading, maybe you're not. But Joelle Jones' art is worth the price of admissions. It's been a great series so far in the couple that I've read. So this finishes that off. I'm sure it'll be collected in some nice oversized hardcover at some point, and I'll be interested in that as well. But don't forget to pick up that last issue if you are following it, of Supergirl Being Super number 4. That is on page 123 of the DC section of previews.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the DC section on page 124. It's The Flintstones number 10, written by Mark Russell, art by Stephen Pugh. Now, this is the final issue of this limited run. The solicit reads, "You are now leaving Bedrock. The Great Gazoo is on his way home to the stars, while Fred and company leave the Church of Gerald, and Mr. Slate leaves behind, being a jerk, at least for a little while. Say goodbye to Pebbles, Bowling Ball, Philip the Turtle, Fred and Barney, and the whole cast in this final issue of what critics are calling the best comic of 2016. Now, you know, this was one of my picks from the last preview spotlight episode. You know, and the reason, you know, again, why, you know, I love this limited run was, to me, it was a well-balanced social commentary, self-containing stories, you know, that was set in the Flintstones universe. So if you guys get a chance, you know, not only pick up, you know, this last issue, you know, but pick up, you also pick up issue number 10. Check that out. That just came out, you know, this past Wednesday, April 5th. And also pick up issues 11 when it comes out next month. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John.
Hello, this is Jerry, and I am in the previews catalog on page 126 in the DC's comics section, and I'm looking at Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Number 82, written by Sholly Fish, with art by Scott Gerrels and a cover by Scott Gross. For truckers on a midnight run, an all-night truck stop is a sight for sore eyes, unless it's haunted by the truck stop terror. With truckers running for their lives and their trucks vanishing, Scooby and Mystery Incorporated will need to trade in the Mystery Machine for a big rig and hit the road. With a truckload of Scooby snacks at stake, will Scooby flee from the terror or just eat faster? On sale June 14th. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? I love Scooby-Doo. Who doesn't? I grew up with the classics. Scooby-Doo has always been a part of my life, I must admit. And I know on comic book page that Scooby-Doo team-up has gotten some shine in the last year or so. A lot of people appreciate it, and I do too. It's a really good book. But, you know, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Is also pretty good. It's not as cool because it doesn't have the team-ups. It doesn't have Scooby and Batman or the Justice League or Scooby and Quick Draw McGraw or whatever. But it's just Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Are just this classic Scooby-Doo capers, just nonsense. Right now, I just happen to be in a mood for some nonsense and just some Scooby-Doo type fun. But the key to, I wanted to point out, this is written by Sholly Fish, who is also writing the Scooby-Doo team-up. And one little bit of insight, if you're ever looking at at like kids type books or all ages books or Scooby-Doo in particular. Basically, if it's written by Sholly Fish, it's going to be good. He's great writer at this type of stuff. I've seen him on some interviews, and he's a college professor or something. I don't know. I'm probably way off. Maybe he's a race car driver. But Sholly Fish is a very good writer. He writes some really good Scooby-Doo stuff. So Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Number 82 this month from DC Comics. Jerry says, check it out.
Billy Hogan again. My seventh pick in this previews comes in the Vertigo part of the DC section with Astro City number 45, written by Kurt Busiek, art by Brent Anderson, and cover by Alex Ross. What Broke the Broken Man? Part 1 of 2. Astro City's tangled history of superheroes, music, counterculture, serpents, and darkness comes to a head. Heroes are destroyed, minds are shattered, and an unlikely savior rises. This is a resolicit on sale June 21st, 32 pages for $3.99. I've been on board with this series ever since Vertigo picked it up, and I'm glad I did. I enjoy this series for the same reason that I liked Black Hammer, and that Astro City explores superhero comics in a way that Marvel and DC just can't, since they're also marketing them for multimedia adaptions. And Astro City does a great job in peeking in the unexplored corners of the superhero universe, whether it's superheroes when they take off their mask, or what the consequences of a lifetime of crime fighting can be, or whether it's normal people living in a universe or in the world with superheroes and how that affects their daily lives. So I look forward to Astro City each month from Discount Comic Book Service. Back to you, John.
Hey guys, this is Michael back with another pick, and this time from a DC Comics Vertigo line on page 144, and it is Clean Room, Volume 3, Waiting for the Stars to Fall, trade paperback. Written by Gail Simone, art by Walter Giovanni and Sonia Anwar, cover by Jenny Frizen. In these stories from Clean Room number 13 through 18, discover how Astrid was first affected after hospitalization through the eyes of one who cannot see what she sees, her brother and would-be assassin Peter Mueller. Then, a woman devastated by the violent loss of her husband finds comfort in Astrid Mueller's teachings, only to face the woman herself in the most nightmarish reaches of the clean room. It's on sale July 12th, 144 pages, $16.99. It is a mature title. It's from the Vertigo line of DC Comics, so definitely not for kids, but this has been, I've been reading this in trade, and the first two volumes have been really, really well done, really good, really well written. Very engaging story. I would definitely check out those first two volumes before you get this, but really enjoyed this series so far. Don't know if it's going to continue or this is it, but looking forward to this coming out, and it's Clean Room Volume 3, page 144. Check it out.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from IDW on page 168. It is Clue number 1, written by Paul Allure with art by Nelson Daniel and a cover by Gabriel Rodriguez. When the mysterious Mr. Body turns up dead at his own dinner party, everyone's a suspect. Ms. Scarlet, Colonel Mustard, Mrs. Peacock, Professor Plum, all the familiar faces from the famous board game are back with a couple new twists. But will Body's body be the last to fall, or is it just the beginning? Follow the clues and solve the mystery in IDW's new Clue series. And it does feature three alternate endings, just like the movie did. You know, I spent countless hours as a youth playing Clue and was quite the little sleuth, I will admit. So I am kind of interested in this and going to check it out. That first issue releases June 21st. It's a $3.99 comic. And you can check it out on page 168 in the IDW section of previews.
My next pick is on page 170 of the previews catalog from IDW. It's Star Trek New Visions Time Out of Joint. Now, this is one of the photo mosaic projects or issues being done by John Byrne of Star Trek. And he's doing an amazing job on this because it's like reading a new episode of the original Star Trek series. He's using footage from the show, stitching it together to tell new stories. And again, just it's a lot of fun. He captures the sensibility of the old show, obviously the look of the old show, and is just expanding the stories told with it. It's $7.99. It is 48 pages and square bound. I think you're definitely getting your money's worth. It feels like a full episode of the show. A lot of fun. In this case, Kirk is getting torn from the timeline and bouncing around to different days, different years, different dangers. And again, he's got the entire run to play with of both, presumably not just the show, but maybe the movies. I don't know. So I'm looking forward to it. Have been enjoying this quite a bit. Definitely think it's worth checking out. Once again, that's Star Trek New Visions, Time Out of Joint on page 170 from IDW. It is a comic book page pick of the month, so we got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. Check it out.
Hi guys, this is Don Fainer, aka Perseus on the forums, and this is another pick here in the April previews catalog on page 183 in the IDW/top shelf section. This is Surfside Girls, Volume 1, Secret of Danger Point, written by Kim Dwinell and art by Kim Dwinell. The solicit here says that things are getting weird in Surfside. Lately, Samantha's best friend, Jade, explodes into fits of giggles whenever she sees a boy, and it's throwing a wrench into the kickback summer of surfing and hanging out that Sam had planned. But after swimming through a secret underwater cave, Sam starts to see things, like ghosts and pirates, and maybe even something scarier. Can she and Jade get to the bottom of this mystery in time to save their town? This sounds like a whole lot of fun. I love seeing teenagers that are having this come-of-age type of story going on, but also they find a little bit of supernatural things going on in the town. They have to be the ones to solve it and fix it. It sounds like a whole great time. This sounds like it could be an all-ages type of graphic novel, which is also up my alley. Coming-of-age story sounds good, and also the supernatural aspect of it sounds a whole lot of fun. This is $19.99, guys. Make sure you pre-order. This is a top-shelf release. A lot of these do not make it to the comic shop, so make sure you pre-order it, okay? Or you'll be buying it off of Amazon or somewhere like a Barnes & Noble. So anyway, Surfside Girls Volume 1, Secret of Danger Point. Back to you, John.
Hey, guys. This is Michael back with another pick. This time I'm in the Image Comics section, page 200. And it's Kill the Minotaur, number 1, series premiere. The story by Chris Passato and Christian Cantamessa. Art and cover by Lucas Kettner and Jean-Francois Bailu. I'm probably butchering all those names, but anyways, it releases June 14th. It's going to be 40 pages, $3.99. And the solicit reads as follows. Athens lost the war to Crete. Now they pay tribute to King Minos by sacrificing their best citizens to his unearthly labyrinth. Conspirators believe Theseus can be the hero they need to end the Mad King's bloody reign. But no one on this world has ever encountered anything like the savage Minotaur. I'm not sure if this is going to be a drama or a horror story or a tale of both, but looks like it says every issue is going to have 30 pages of story. I really like the cover art. It's kind of really foreboding and just looks like a fun alternative history type take on the Greek mythology and something like that. So I'm definitely going to check this out. I always love to check out new series from Image. And I believe DCBS is going to have a 50% off discount on this issue. So you can try it for $1.99 through DCBS. But anyways, it's Kill the Minotaur number 1, brand new series from Image Comics coming out in June 14th, 40 pages. Check it out. Hey guys, this is Michael. I'm still in the Image Comics section on page 202, and this is a new miniseries coming, and it is Shirtless Bear Fighter number 1 of 5, series premiere. Story by Jody Lahip and Sebastian Gerner. Art by Neil Vendrell and Mike Spicer. It is coming out June 21st. It's going to be 32 pages, $3.99. And the solicit reads as follows. After being betrayed by the bears that raised him, the legendary Shirtless Bear Fighter wanders the forest he's sworn to protect, fist-fighting bears, eating flapjacks, and being the angriest man the world has ever known. When wild-eyed, super-strong bears attack the citizens of Major City, Shirtless ventures into the human world to do what he does best, punch bears in the face. But all is not as it seems. Someone is manipulating Shirtless Bear Fighter, and only by confronting the demons of his past can Shirtless hope to save his future. A heart-filled, hilarious tale for the ages you don't want to miss. Shirtless Bear Fighter. Obviously, I usually try almost all the new Image series. This one does look like it's going to be very tongue-in-cheek and very, very off the beaten path, so to speak. So definitely did not expect anything serious from this series. Just could be a fun little romp for a 5-issue miniseries. I believe DCBS is going to have a 50% off discount on this, so you can try it for $2. I'm going to try it. It's not going to be serious. It's going to be totally tongue-in-cheek, and sometimes you need that. And with a lot of the series I read are usually very dramatic series, so I like something like this that kind of cleanses the palate a little bit and doesn't, you know, takes you and makes you laugh a little bit. So I'm going to try this one. It's Shirtless Bear Fighter number 1 of 5, page 202 from Image Comics. Check it out.
Hey everybody, it's Chris Brawley, a.k.a. Brawlinator, on the forums. My first pick this month is found on page 206 in the Image section. It's Astounding Wolfman, the Complete Collection by Robert Kirkman and Jason Howard. Here's the solicit. For the first time ever, the complete Astounding Wolfman is collected in one volume. When Gary Hampton is mauled and left for dead, his life takes a drastic turn. And when the moon is full, he transforms into a beast of the night, a werewolf. But this curse will not be used for evil. Witness the birth of the world's most unlikely new superhero, the Astounding Wolfman. This collects Astounding Wolfman 1 through 25 and Invincible number 57. Astounding Wolfman tells the story of Gary Hampton, a CEO who is mauled by a werewolf while on a family vacation, and the series follows Gary's efforts to use his powers for good and to be a superhero despite having this evil curse. Kirkman is writing some of the best comics of our time, from The Walking Dead to Invincible, and the through line for all of his titles seems to be families in crisis and personal relationships. Astounding Wolfman wrapped up its story arc in a very organic way and with an exciting conclusion after 25 issues way back in 2010, and this complete collection collects it all. Jason Howard's art is fantastic, the writing is top-notch, and this concept essentially mashes up the superhero and the monster horror genres perfectly, like an updated version of Marvel Comics' Werewolf by Night, which I own the omnibus for that as well. The art has a pop sensibility, but the story may occasionally be too bloody for some tastes. That's a shout out to you, John. It's 26 issues for a complete collection for only $54.99, and that's before the DCBS discount. I'm in. Consider it for yourself. It's on page 206 of this month's previews.
I did read Astounding Wolfman when it came out, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. There are a few places where it's definitely kind of violent, but I felt the art style was, I don't say kind of cartoony enough or whatever, but it wasn't overly gory, but that is definitely something worth pointing out that Brawlinated it. And it ended well. It was good. I enjoyed it. I definitely recommend it as well. And I think it'll read better in a single collection. I think there were a few subplots that on a monthly basis, you know, it was a little harder to keep track of. Definitely Kirkman is one of those noted writers of our time. And again, great pick there for that collection.
Billy Hogan again. My 8th pick comes from the Skybound imprint in the Image section on page 223 with Invincible number 137. Story by Robert Kirkman. Art and cover by Ryan Utley and Nathan Fairbairn. This issue is scheduled to be released on June 21st. It contains 24 pages for the cover price of $2.99. The End of All Things, Part 5. This issue has everything. Mark and Eve in peril. Alan's fleet chased by Thrag's forces. Terra learning to use her powers. Robot doing something else evil. Did we mention Tether Tyrant? All this and Debbie Grayson momming the hell out of the cover. I'm 2 issues behind right at the moment. I've just finished reading issue number 132. And I'm sad by the fact that there are only about 7 more issues to go in this series. But I enjoy the way Robert Kirkman and the other creative staff do such an excellent job in doing anything and everything to these characters, so there's really no way of guessing how they're going to wind up this series, but I'm going to enjoy the ride and hopefully in the near future get the 2 or 3 trade paperbacks that I need to complete my run of the series and then read it from the beginning all over again. I enjoy Invincible for the same reasons as I stated, like I enjoy Black Hammer and especially Astro City. And those I always keep for the bottom of my pile because I like to save the best for last. Back to you, John.
Hey guys, it's Drew and I am in Image, my favorite publisher. On page 233, it's Royal City number 4. Now we know there's tons of number ones, lots of cool creative creator-owned series launching. I'm going with Royal City number 4 because I just read Royal City number 1 and I can't get it out of my mind. It's great. It's fantastic. It was wonderful. His narrative at the back about the year and a half he spent developing this. That first issue was really cool. Don't call it a slice of life. Make sure you don't call it a slice of life comic. It's more than that, and that's reductive. We don't want to do that. But if you haven't been reading it, here's a little bit about what's going on in this fourth issue. Of course, written and drawn by Jeff Lemire. It all falls down the delicate balancing act that has been keeping the fragile lives of each Pike family member aloft comes crashing down. And with his past finally catching up to him, Pat's sins are revealed, but it may be too late to make amends. The penultimate chapter of Royal City's first storyline delivers shocking twists and heartbreaking breaking truths. Put this on your radar. If you can't pick up the single issues because you missed the boat, I get it. Wait for the trade on that. But make sure that this is something you read, because if the first issue is any indicator, this is going to be fantastic and good for the long haul and another Jeff Lemire masterwork. So I am super excited for it, and I hope you are too. Please check out Royal City number 4 in the Image section on page 233.
Hey guys, this is Michael with a pick in the Marvel section of the previews, and it's going to be on page 17, and it is Edge of Venomverse, number 1 of 5, written by Matthew Rosenberg, art by Roland Boschke. The Edge of Venomverse starts here. The series that sets up the epic Venom event of 2017 starts here. Each issue introduces another major Venomized character that will feed into the Venomverse itself. This issue, the young mutant clone designated X-23 collides with a cryogenic tube containing a strange alien symbiote during her frenzied escape from the facility. Bonding with the alien enhances her already considerable abilities and aids in her escape, but it begins to alter her mind. On the run from the very people that made her, can X-23 hold it together, or is she doomed to give in to Venom? I do like that this is a 5-issue miniseries. I've not been a big event guy, but going to try out this issue. The cover by Francesca Mattina is absolutely amazing. Love the detail. Love that they're kind of delving back into the Weapon X side of things. And going to try out this issue. Not sure that I'll get the whole entire miniseries, but I do like that this is going to be a mini event of 5 issues. Hopefully comes out on time. And Marvel does some very good stuff, and there's some very good stuff out there. I like Matthew Rosenberg's writing style, so that's another reason why I'm giving this a try as well. And hopefully it will be good, but check it out. It is Edge of Venomverse number 1 from Marvel Comics, and it's coming out in June. Check it out.
Hello, this is Alan from Japan once again, and this is my 3rd pick from this month's previews. This time, I'm in the Marvel catalog on page 31, and my pick is Champions number 9, written by Mark Waid, art and cover by Humberto Ramos. Here's the solicit, casting a spotlight on young synthesoid, Viv Vision. After what became of her family, she willingly shut down her emotions. But does that come with a price to pay? It's 32 pages, rated T+, and it's $3.99. Now, after being introduced to Viv Vision and Tom King's Vision series, I became very interested in the character, and I was pleasantly surprised to see her show up in the Champions, and I've been enjoying that, and so I'm looking forward to this issue. Thank you.
My next pick is on page 46 of the Marvel previews, and it's Daredevil number 22. It's the start of a new story arc, Supreme, and it's written by Charles Soule, and what got me was the pitch for this. I love the concept here. Matt Murdock has a bold new plan to eradicate crime in New York City, using the massive power of the legal system. It's like he finally realized he's also a lawyer. Or maybe he's a district attorney. I forget where he's at these days. Anyways, I'm curious how all that's going to work. Charles Soule, of course, knows the legal system. He is a lawyer or an attorney, one of the two, whatever. And a good writer, so I think it'll be a fun read. We're going to have Luke Cage. We're going to have Echo in this. We've got Goran Suzuka. We'll go with that for the artist. I apologize if I mispronounced the name, but I probably did. Looks like a lot of fun. It is a $3.99 comic because, well, it's from Marvel. But we've got a 50% discount through DCBS. Should be a lot of fun. Like I said, it's Daredevil number 21 on page 46 of the Marvel previews. Check it out.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. I'm here at Dragon's Lair with my pick from the Marvel section on page 52. It's the Kingpin number 5. Written by Matthew Rosenberg, art by Ben Torres. The solicit reads, "The life and crimes of Wilson Fisk. Sarah Dewey realizes there's no turning back from the Kingpin now. But how much more is it going to cost her? Wilson Fisk reestablishes his reputation with his biography. But what is his endgame?" Now, I'm really enjoying this series. You know, I like how Matthew Rosenberg is writing the Kingpin as this charismatic man looking for redemption. But he also has ulterior motives. So, you know, that's the thing I like about, you know, this series, that basically, you know, the Kingpin, he's trying to be sympathetic, he's trying to change his life, but yet, you know, he still has his ulterior motives. So that's what I really like about this series. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Kingpin number 5. I have it here on my pull list here at Dragon's Lair. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Hello, this is Jerry. I'm in the Marvel Previews catalog, and we all know Marvel's been going through some rough times recently. They've been all over the comic book news, sales woes, all kinds of problems, creators fleeing, like a mass exodus. Everyone's up in arms. They've overpriced, too many variants, too many renumberings, just all the ridiculousness. Well, we all know that. And it's all true. But there are still some good books that Marvel puts out. And I prefer the ones that are kind of set off in their own little corner where you can get a creative team, just tell a story and see what happens. Things that don't get caught in the muddled morass of Marvel misery, as it were. And there's a new series coming out written by James Robinson called Nick Fury. And I'm hoping this is going to be that type of a book. This is on page 55 in the Marvel catalog. It's Nick Fury number 3, written by James Robinson, with art by Aiko, a variant cover by Fernando Blanco. James Robinson has been doing Scarlet Witch for Marvel, and I feel that that has been a very good book. I don't think it sold very well, and no one really read it or talked about it too much. But again, that's kind of what I'm looking for Marvel right now until they get things squared away and figured out. Just find the characters that I like and some creators that are telling some solid stories that I can enjoy without worrying about too much stuff. So fingers are crossed on this one for Nick Fury. Hopefully it's going to be a good series. Here's what it says about it. Nick Fury's next mission goes off the rails. The mission is simple enough. Prevent an assassination on the maiden voyage of a new international train line. But when another player enters the fray, it's a thin line between friend and foe. Can Nick Fury solve the mystery and prevent the killing before his enemies punch his ticket? I imagine he can, but maybe he can't. This is Marvel, so Nick Fury number 4 could feature an all-new, all-different Nick Fury. You never know. Probably a teenager. But anyway, all aboard for the assassination locomotion caper. 32 pages, $3.99. Bonus digital content included. Batteries not included. Nick Fury, number 3 from Marvel. Let's hope it's fun. I'm looking forward to it. Love James Robinson. Come on, Marvel. You can do it.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Marvel. It is the comic of 2016, The Vision, number 1, a director's cut on page 58 of the Marvel supplement of previews. Of course, written by Tom King with art by Gabriel Hernandez-Walta and a cover by Mike Del Mundo. This is one of the most surprising superhero stories ever told, which is now better than ever. You can experience this first issue. They're calling it a masterpiece. I call it a masterpiece. Pretty amazing stuff. Represented with behind-the-scenes content. You get Vision Issue 1 and Vision Issue 2, plus these extras. Tom King's series pitch, script excerpts, character designs and sketches, additional cover sketches, and much, much more. Now, this is $7, but you are getting 2 issues. You haven't already bought it. It's definitely a no-brainer. You should pick them up, and this would be a cool way to do so. You have bought it, or you've double-dipped already with a trade and the single issues. This is going to be tough to chew on, to pay another $7, times 6. So what is that, $42? Yeah, that's going to be tough. I really, really want to get this. I didn't get the trades, so I didn't do my double-dipping yet. So I think this is going to be the way to go for me. I kind of want some of that script stuff and the character designs and things just to kind of see what the evolution was. A lot of people don't like that stuff, but I'm going to check it out. And if it's of interest to you, again, it's a $6.99 chunk that comes out on June 14th. And you can check out for yourself on page 58 of the Marvel supplement for previews. Vision number 1. Check it out.
Hi, this is Jerry. I'm in the Marvel previews supplement catalog. I'm on page 61, and I'm looking at The Punisher, number 13, written by Becky Cloonan, with art by Chris Anka, and a cover by Declan Shelby. The Punisher is back in the Big Apple. Start spreading the bullets. He's coming today. He wants to destroy the crime of it. New York, New York. Hey, how about that? Punisher is a pretty good series. I'm enjoying it. Becky Cloonan's doing a good job. Let's just roll with it and see what happens. See how long they can go before they ruin it. But so far, I'm enjoying this series. I pick it up every month. Maybe you should check it out also. The Punisher, number 13 from Marvel.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason. I'm here at Dragon's Lair with my next pick from the Marvel section on page 78. It's Old Man Logan, number 25. Now, this is the start of a new story arc with a new creative team. The writer is Ed Brisson, and art is done by the legendary Mike Deodato Jr. Now, the solicit reads, "A long last threat reemerges. Logan is confronted by an enemy from his past. And if Logan's past is a dystopian future, you know this can't be good." Enter the Maestro. Don't miss the start of an all-new story arc by breakout writer Ed Brisson and fan favorite artist Mike Deodato Jr. Now, you know, this looks like a great jumping on point, you know, for this series, you know, with this new creative team. And you know, what's pretty awesome is that Old Man Logan versus the Maestro. And again, like I said, this looks like an awesome matchup. So if you guys get a chance, you know, I think this might be the perfect jumping on point for this series. I already have this on my pull list here at Dragon Slayers. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Hi, this is Jerry. I'm in the Marvel Previews catalog. I'm on page 81, and I'm looking at Cable number 2, written by James Robinson with art by Carlos Pacheco and a cover by Dale Keown. One step forward, 3 centuries back, Cable follows his target back to feudal Japan and is met with decidedly futuristic warriors. But whom exactly is Cable after, and what do they need in this time period? Jump into the time stream with Cable and find out. I did Cable number 1 last month. I thought I would do number 2 this month and see until I get the first issue and have a chance to read it. I'm still very excited about this book. I love Cable. I love James Robinson's writing, 9 times out of 10 anyway. And I'm looking forward to, hopefully, fingers crossed, just a good solid Cable story and a Cable series that maybe will last a year or so if we're lucky. So Cable number 2 from Marvel.
It's Brawlinator again, and my next pick is found on page 102 of the Marvel Supplemental Previews. It's the Shang-Chi Master of Kung Fu Omnibus Volume 4. I expect if you've picked up the first 3 of these, then you know about this one, but I wanted to mention it because the first 3 have been awesome. The original ongoing series was created after Marvel failed to get the rights to the very popular Kung Fu TV show in the 70s. They did manage to get the rights to the character Fu Manchu, so they created a comic book starring his son. The series began back in 1974, starting with issue 15 of Special Marvel Edition magazine by Steve Englehart and Jim Starlin, before it was renamed The Hands of Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu. The series quickly gained massive popularity and ran until it eventually ended at issue 125 back in 1983, which is quite a feat, and this omnibus collects all those final issues. The solicit reads, Doug Monkey is joined by Gene and the Brothers Day, you know, Dan and David Day, to rise and advance Shang-Chi to this final omnibus collection. Demons from Shang-Chi's past return. It's Razor Fist, Pavane, the Cat, Zarin, and even the Master of Kung Fu's father, the Devil Doctor, Fu Manchu. It all builds to the ultimate battle between father and son, stoked by years of conflict. The stakes are final, and Monkey's story and Gene Day's shadow-drenched artwork make every moment stunning. The saga also introduces new enemies, Dark Angel, Death Dealer, Argus, Shadow Hand, and possibly Shang-Chi's own mother. These iconic Marvel masterpieces have never been reprinted before and probably will never be reprinted again. I think this is a temporary license, so don't miss your chance to experience the Master of Kung Fu. This final volume will reprint the bulk of the Gene Day drawn issues collecting Master of Kung Fu, numbers 102 through 125, a one-shot called Master of Kung Fu Bleeding Black, and the pertinent material from Marvel Comics Presents back in 88 from issues 1 through 8. Again, check it out for yourself. It's the Master of Kung Fu Omnibus, Volume 4 from Marvel Comics on the Marvel Supplemental page 102.
Hey guys, it's Drew, and I am making my way through the back half of previews. I'm in the Aftershock section on page 261. It is Baby Teeth number 1, written by Donnie Cates, with art by Gary Brown, and a cover by Elizabeth Torque. Sadie Ritter is 16 years old, 9 months pregnant, and scared out of her sweet, nerdy mind. Having a baby that young is tough, but with the support of her loving family behind her, everything should be okay. Oh yeah, and also her baby is the Antichrist, and it's going to break open the barriers between the earthly and demonic planes, and unleash eternal suffering to all of humankind. Other than that, though, should be fine. Of course, Donny Cates did God Country. Those of us who have read the first couple issues of that, loving it. It's great stuff. I also did Redneck recently. I saw some preview pages on that and really liked what the direction it was going. So I'm all about Donny Cates as a writer, really like his stuff. And the art by Gary Brown, who I know from The Massive. I don't know what else he's done. I'm sure he's done plenty of great stuff. If I guess he's done The Revisionist. There it is, right there in the solicit. If you're interested, check out the solicit on page 261 in the Aftershock section in the back half of previews. It's Baby Teeth number 1.
Hey guys, this is Michael back with another pick, and this time in the latter part of the catalog. This is coming from Aftershock Comics, page 262, and this is Pestilence number 2, written by Frank Thierry, artist by Oleg Okuniv, and cover by Tim Bradstreet. It's going to be $3.99, 32 pages, on sale June 7th. And the solicit reads as follows. Roderick Helms and his men of Fiat Lux have set off on their mission to save Europe from the zombie plague that infests the continent. But as they arrive in Rome, will the undead hordes that await them put an end to their quest before it even begins? Written by the master of violence, gore, and mayhem, Frank Thierry, with spectacular art by Disney illustrator Oleg Okuniv,
and covers by Eisner-nominated artist Tim Bradstreet. Definitely looking forward to this series. I have not received the first issue yet, but it's basically, instead of the Black Death being a plague, it is actually a kind of an alternative history of the, posits the Black Plague as the first zombie outbreak in, so I'm, and this is the kind of the story of the knights that went off to stop the first zombie plague from infesting and destroying all of humanity. So it's going to be a super violent, super, different take on history, and I love the alternative history and historical fiction like this, and it should be a pretty fun series. Definitely not for kids, and not sure how exactly gory it's gonna be, but we'll see. Definitely pumped up for this series, and looking forward to this coming out in June. It's Pestilence number 2, Frank Thierry writing, Oleg Okunev on the art. Check it out.
Hello, this is Alan from Japan with my final pick from this month's previews catalog. This time, I'm on page 266 in the Alterna comic section, and my pick is The Chair, number 1, written by Peter Cimetti, artist Kevin Christensen. It's 17 plus in horror, betrayal, revenge, and humanity's horrifying capacity for evil. Richard Sullivan has spent 10 years on death row for a crime he claims he never committed. But lately, inmates are being brutally murdered by the warden and his guards. Will Sullivan escape before it's too late? Now, a major motion picture starring Bill Oberst Jr., Tim Muscatel, Zach Galligan, Noah Hathaway, Naomi Grossman, and the late, great Roddy Piper. Okay. All right. Now, last month, I ordered one of these Alterna comics. Actually, all four of the Alterna comics, because they were only $1.50, and I wanted to see what the newsprint looked like. And this month, I was surprised to see that there are four different newsprint comics available. So, after reading Alterna Comics webpage, I found that these comics are bi-monthly. So last month, for example, you had Amazing Age, and so then this month you have The Chair. So next month will be Amazing Age, and then the month after that will be The Chair again. And so I thought that was an interesting marketing technique. Also, on Alterna's website, they announced that they had bumped up the number of printings for the first issue, and so they'll print a lot more of issue ones than, because they had a lot of orders. So that's good to see. All right, that's all. Thank you, John, for hosting this preview spotlight, and thank you, everybody, for your picks, and hope to see you next month. Thank you.
My next pick is not on page 45 of the Marvel previews. I want to get that out up front, because I'll explain in a moment why you might think it could be. My next pick here is on page 272 of the previews catalog from American Mythology. It is America number 4. Now, this is part of Overground Comics. Apparently, they have become an imprint over at American Mythology. They had been self-published. Some of you might remember the publisher spotlight I did on Overground Comics in late July last year, 2016. I had encountered John Hughes, who is the writer and lead guy over at Overground Comics, at a convention in Dallas. They had some interesting stuff. It looked like it could be fun, so I picked up pretty much the whole lot of it, and basically read through their different titles: Absent Captain, Graduate, Hero Corps Knights, Plus Ultra, Tinker, and America. and reviewed all of those in that episode. It's good kind of indie comics superhero type stuff. And when I saw that they were moving over to American Mythology, I'm like, hey, I want to throw the guy some attention or whatnot, shine the spotlight on them, because I think he's doing some fun stuff with Overground. And then when I realized it was going to be America number 4 in particular, it's like, yeah, I have got to make sure people are at least aware of this. And part of that is because this is one of those cases where we've got a an independent creator, John Hughes, who had been self-publishing through Overground Comics, is now going through American Mythology, which is still a small publisher, coming out with a title called America, and this is the fourth issue, for $3.99, at the exact same time that over on page 45 of the Marvel previews is America number 4 for $3.99 from Marvel by Gabby Rivera and Joe Quinones about the Chavez America character, America Chavez character, I forget. I really should pay attention to some of these character names, shouldn't I? Anyways, the Marvel character called America that Drew and I reviewed the first issue of not that long ago, actually. Matter of fact, it was just, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, we reviewed the first issue of that America in Weekly Comic Spotlight $4.99. And it was an okay comic. And frankly, a lot of people may like that America better than the America number 4 from Overground and American Mythology, but they're very different things. What Overground is trying to do is tell stories about characters and then not feel the need to have them live on forever and ever and ever. Have a story, have a character that fits the story, tell it, have a point to it, move on. And I'm enjoying, again, what Overground's doing. I wanted to, again, shine the spotlight there. I will be getting America number back. I'll be getting both America number 4s. And yes, I really do think that may confuse my number crunching system to have two of the same title at the same time from different publishers coming out, but such is life. Such is the comic industry. Anyways, like I said, America number 4 from Overground Comics, the imprint over at American Mythology. That's one of my recommendations. We've got a 45% discount through DCBS. Check it out, see what you think. And by all means, check out that publisher spotlight. I think it was number 13, where I talk about the Overground Comics to see if it's something that's right for you. I went through, like I said, all the issues that I had at the time, which was only the first issue of America. I've since gotten, I think, another one or two. But it'll give you a sense of what that universe is all about and what they're trying to do. So, like I said, this is America number 4 on page 272 of the previews catalog. Check it out.
It's Brawlinator again, and my next pick can be found in both the Marvel previews on page 96, but is more prominently detailed on pages 278 and 279 of the Diamond Previews catalog, for those following along at home. This is a very smart move, I think. Marvel Comics and Archie Comics are having themselves another good old-fashioned team-up. No, it's not another Punisher meets Archie. This time, it's a team-up behind the scenes. It's Marvel Comics Digest number 1 featuring Amazing Spider-Man. The pair of publishers is working together on publishing new Marvel Digests and distributing them wherever Archie Digests are already sold. Yes, folks, that means Marvel Comics are coming back to the newsstands and grocery stores. Excelsior. Marvel Comics' best-selling heroes are now in the ever-popular Digest format, and each Digest is a mixture of over 200 pages of the most memorable classic and modern stories spanning every decade of Marvel history and readership. This first issue spotlights the Amazing Spider-Man, featuring art and stories from comic greats such as Stan Lee, Steve Ditko, Len Wein, Ross Andrew, and more. This is a can't-miss collector's item, I think, and it probably will not be reprinted, but likely they've printed a million of these, so I don't know that it will please speculators who are just trying to flip these. Now, these are the 5.5 by 8.25 inch digest size, so they're a bit smaller than a regular comic book, and usually smaller printing, so I hope you've got your glasses or very good eyes, or your young kid whose eyes are so great that these things were perfect. Basically, this is going to be the best published Spider-Man stories being published in June 2017, and Archie Comics has them. I'm tempted to buy more than one copy to give away. And I really think if they could publish a Star Wars Digest next, they will regain market share tremendously. These are only $6.99, so consider getting an extra copy for your favorite kid. It's the Marvel Comics Digest number 1, Amazing Spider-Man from Marvel and Archie Comics on both the Marvel Previews Catalog, page 96, and the Main Previews Catalog on page 278 and 279.
Hey guys, this is Michael back with another pick, and this is really far in the back of the catalog. It's page 290. And it is Beautiful Canvas number 1 from Black Mask Studios, written by Ryan Lindsay, art and cover by Sammy Cavella. It is $3.99, 32 pages, full color, and is a mature title. The solicit reads as follows. Lon Isley is a hit woman hired to kill a small child a few days after discovering her girlfriend is pregnant. In a bold declaration of uncertainty, she saves the boy and hits the road, despite the fact her boss clearly wanted him dead for a reason. This warped crime dystopia delves into the emotional dichotomy of creator slash destroyer as Lon tries to connect the two very different worlds she now inhabits. From Sammy Cavella comes a gonzo tale of personal discovery and animal slash hybrid hit tropes and reactive pyrokinesis. I really like a lot of the stuff that Black Mask puts out. It's definitely off the beaten path of most everything that's out there right now. All of their comics are very, very original and very well written, and sometimes there is delays between issues. That's the only kind of nitpick I have, but the art is usually spectacular, the stories are very engaging, and the characters are usually very well written. And I do like to support new creators, usually new artists and all that kind of stuff, and it's just fun to give a shot to these new ideas and new stories, and kind of the next wave of creators. These are going to be your next superstars, are going to be coming from these super small publishers. So definitely looking forward to this series. If you want to try something new, something different, check out Beautiful Canvas number 1 from Black Mask Studios, page 290. Check it out. Hey guys, this is Michael. This is going to be my last pick in this month's previews. And it's coming from Boom Studios on page 296. And the issue is The Unsound number 1, written by Cullen Bunn, art and cover by Jack T. Cole. $3.99, 32 pages, full color. And the solicit reads as follows. Ashley's first day as a nurse at Wearmont Psychiatric Hospital turns into a nightmare as a bloody riot sends her fleeing into the bowels of the hospital. Her descent takes her to a hellish world populated by lunatics and monsters, cloaked in a secret history of black magic and heinous scientific experiments. Descend into madness with Cullen Bunn. Now, I don't have any Boom Studio books on my pull list right now. I do like Cullen Bunn. I like a lot of the stuff that he does, and I'm definitely going to try out this series. Always looking to try out new titles and see if I like them. And this is going to be 50% off through DCBS, so you can try it for $2. Can't go wrong there. And it does look pretty engaging. And again, I try to support the smaller publishers. Boom Studios does a lot of different genres, and a lot of the stuff they do is all agey. And not sure if this is going to be all ages. It does, you know, it's going to have mostly deal with horror elements. So looking forward to trying this new series from Cullen Bunn and Boom Studios. The Unsound number 1. Check it out. And I do want to give a quick shout out to John and what he does every month. I know it's a lot of hard work, and it's pretty special that we have this forum and this podcast that we can all contribute to and be passionate and excited about all the different series coming out each and every month. It's really neat. I think it's pretty unique and awesome way to contribute to and let everybody know what you're excited about and have passion about the series we're reading, the creators we're excited about, and just kind of have this awesome community that John has developed over the years. And I really love it, and it's super fun, and I love contributing. And I just wanted to give a big thanks to John for making this all happen every single month. So anyways, we just definitely appreciate all your hard work, and we will see you guys next month. Thanks a lot.
My next pick is on page 297. It's Bill and Ted Save the Universe, number 1 of 5. This is by Boom Studios. And basically the Wild Stallions are back, and once again they're time traveling across the whole universe and so forth. More wacky adventures ensue. Really, if you like the movies, these are comics are worth checking out. If you didn't like the movies or haven't seen them, go check out Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Either it's right for you or it's not. If it is, I think they capture the sensibility and style of the movies pretty well in these comics, and I'm enjoying them. So I think it's worth checking out. It is a comic book page pick of the month, so we got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. Once again, that's Bill and Ted Save the Universe number 1 on page 297 of the previews catalog. Check it out.
Hey guys, it's Drew and I'm in the Boom Studios area of previews. It is page 299. It's Slam number 7. This is written by Pamela Ribbon with art by Sam Beck and a cover by Jen Bartel. A mysterious showdown happens when an old rival with the fate of the league hanging in the balance. This comes out June 14th. It is $3.99. That extensive solicit there doesn't really do this justice. This is the best comic about rollerblading. No, I'm sorry, not rollerblading. roller derby that I've ever read. Haven't read a lot of them, but it's really good. Top-notch stuff. I'm in and excited about this. So please check out Slam number 7 from Boom Studios, all the way in the back of previews on page 299.
The Brawlinator again, and this is my final pick of the month. It's at the bottom of page 303. It's the Planet of the Apes Archive, Volume 1 from Boom Studios. This is a hardcover. This is another collection. All of my picks this month have been collections. This is one I never thought to see, though. It is from Boom. It's also another Marvel reprint. Experience the legendary 1970s Marvel Comics Terror on the Planet of the Apes, collected for the first time ever and remastered in a prestigious hardcover. This classic series followed two friends, a man and ape, on the run from the law, and it's from such luminaries as Doug Monkey, Mike Ploog, Tom Sutton, Herb Trimpe, and more. Longtime fans can now experience this previously uncollected classic of two unlikely friends coming together for the adventure of a lifetime. Terror on the Planet of the Apes was Marvel Comics' original storyline of apes and humans in a world they never made, and the longest original story featured in Marvel's Planet of the Apes magazine. Terror was written entirely by Doug Monkey and drawn originally by Mike Ploog, Frank Chiaramonte, and then later by Tom Sutton. Herb Trimpe and Virgilio Redondo took on art chores later. The art by Ploog and Sutton would be some of the finest they would ever create in their careers, and Mike Ploog took advantage of the glorious black and white format, producing richly textured pencils, which would be published as he drew them with no inking whatsoever. It's really a sight to behold, and I recommend you guys at least take a look at some of this, maybe online or in the catalog. There's not much there to glean from the description, but I am very excited to pick this up and read the whole thing. Check it out for yourself. Again, it's on page 303 of this month's previews. Thank you, John. I'll see you guys on the forum.
Hello, this is Jerry. I am on page 317 in the previews catalog. I'm in the Caliber Entertainment section, and I'm looking at Legend Lore, The Realm Chronicles, Volume 1 Trade Paperback, written by Ralph Griffith and Stuart Kerr, with art and a cover by Guy Davis. Dungeons & Dragons meets Game of Thrones as four modern-day teens are transported to a Middle-earth-esque realm they only thought existed in books and film. Follow the adventures of these teens into the unknown as the world unfolds before them. And what hope do these teens have? How can they survive against wizards, dwarves, dragons, and trolls if they had a hard time making it in high school? One of Caliber Comics' longest-running critically acclaimed comic series, the first of a 12-volume set collecting the entire run of The Realm and Legend Lore. Soft cover, 156 pages, in glorious black and white, $16.99. I'm very familiar with Caliber Comics. I'm in Michigan, and Caliber were based in Michigan, and they started in the late 80s by Gary Reed, and he... It was during the black and white independent craze of comics for all you old timers out there. You, if you remember those glorious days, and Caliber Comics put out a ton of actually pretty good stuff, and a lot of well-known creators had early works. Some of them debuted at Caliber or had some of their early works published there. There were guys like Mike Diodato, Michael Lark, Ed Brubaker, Stuart Immonen, Phil Hester, David Mack, Brian Michael Bendis, Jim Pruitt, who's doing the Black Eyed Kids book for Aftershock right now. I believe Mike Allred did some work. I think Madman first appeared in a Caliber Comics book. I'm not 100% sure off the top of my head on that, but I believe so. And so, yeah, they put out a lot of great stuff. And I remember back in the day going to some local and regional conventions and actually spent a lot of time talking to Bendis, and David Mack were like best buddies. And that's back when Bendis was doing the AKA Goldfish and Jinx type stuff, and David Mack was just doing Kabuki, and it was, you know, it was before they broke with their Daredevil work together. And they were just regular dudes sitting. I remember going to convention and Mac and Bendis are sitting there next to each other at their tables with literally nobody around to even talk to them. And I strolled up with a big stack of books and had them sign a whole bunch of books for me and just chatted incessantly with them. They were just regular dudes. And now it's just funny to see how huge Bendis is and the legend of Bendis and all that kind of stuff. Because back when they did work for Caliber, they were just like Joe Nobody. So anyway, but I digress. Okay, so Caliber Comics, pretty good stuff. Keep an eye out in the previews. They've been reprinting a lot of their old stuff, collecting trade paperbacks. Dead World was another series they put out back in the day. The Raven Chronicles was really good. And they've been going back and doing some reprints in these black and white trade paperbacks. You guys should just keep an eye out in the catalogs for Caliber Entertainment stuff and see what they're putting out there. Unfortunately, Gary Reed, who owned Caliber, was basically starting this resurgence of them in a couple years ago, trying to get them back rolling a little bit again. And then I believe he had like a heart attack or something. He died suddenly. Maybe a year and a half ago. So that's really too bad. But anyway, I have read quite a bit of the Realm and also Legend lore back in the day. I don't have it all. I have quite a bit of it. I even have some original art from Legend lore, some art pages. It's pretty cool. And yeah, Guy Davis worked on this book. I mean, Guy Davis from Sandman Mystery Theater, from BPRD. He used to live in this area and he's a great artist, and he was a super nice guy too. So anyway, I recommend, if you're interested in Dungeons and Dragons type stuff, fantasy, you know, goblins, trolls, and dwarves and stuff like that, check out Legend Lore, The Realm Chronicles Volume 1 Trade Paperback from Caliber Entertainment. That's it for this month. See you guys later. Bye.
My next pick is on page 338 of the previews catalog from Dynamite Entertainment. It is Magnus number 1. I'll be honest, I really don't know what direction they're going in on some of the stuff with the Sovereigns and whatnot. But this pitch for Magnus, while it seems incredibly different from before, sounds pretty interesting. We've got the AIs being used as servants, colleagues, and members of society, but they are, you know, subservient to the humans, and not so cool with that. So enters Magnus, a human psychologist tasked with navigating both worlds, the human and AI, in order to bring the recalcitrant AIs back into productive society. So instead of smashing the robots, maybe it's going to be a little bit more cerebral. Don't know, sounds interesting. We're going to have a backup Turok story. We'll see if that's cool or not. I like some of what they've done with these Gold Key characters in the past, other times not so much. We'll see what happens here. We've got a 50% discount on this through DCBS because it is a comic book page pick of the month. Once again, that's Magnus number 1 on page 338. Check it out.
Hey guys, it's Drew all the way back in the magnetic press section of previews. It is on page 388, and this is Jazz Maynard number 1. written by Rawl, with art by Roger Ibanez Ugena. Jazz Maynard is a trumpeter. He also hides a variety of skills best kept secret. It's these skills he uses when he discovers his long-lost sister is in the grip of New York sex traffickers. On a mission to her rescue and to return her home, a labyrinth of trouble opens up beneath his feet, dropping him into a web of intrigue and danger that most men would not survive. Jazz Maynard is not most men. This is in shops on June 21st, is $3.99, and is from a tiny publisher called Magnetic Press. So if you think you want this, you better pre-order it, because it's probably not going to be on a lot of shelves. So check that out on page 388 in the Magnetic Press section of previews way in the back.
Hi guys, this is Don Fainer K. Perseus on the forums with another manga pick. This over here is on page 407 from Seven Seas. This is Dream and Sun, Volume 2, written by Ichigo Takano, art by Ichigo Takano. Here the solicit says, it's a little long, but the solicit says that Shimana Kamiko lives in a home where she feels she doesn't belong. Her mother's dead, her father's remarried, and her six-month-old baby brother takes up everyone's attention. Kamiko skips school and runs away to a nearby park where she literally stumbles over a mysterious man in a kimono. The stranger, Fujiwara Taiga, offers Kamiko a place to stay on three conditions. The first condition is that Kamiko tell him why she ran away from home. The second is that she fetch the stranger's lost apartment key. He is locked out, apparently. And the third condition is to have a dream. And Kamiko meets those conditions, moves in, and begins a journey of romance and self-discovery. This manga, first of all, it's by Ichigo Takano, who did one of my favorites last year called Orange. You can also get that by Seven Seas. It looks like it's a coming-of-age story that has a little bit of romance, has a little bit of self-discovery from what I'm reading here. That's right up my alley. It's slice of life. It's going to have a little bit of coming of age and also maybe a little bit of romance to it. So you put all this together, and that's a win for me. I love those stories where people are trying to find themselves and figure out what they need to do to make their life better. And it looks like there's some facts here with the family where she wants to leave it. So people can, and it has a little bit of relatability. People can relate to that. So if you like that kind of a story where a girl's trying to find her way a little bit, then feel free to pick this up. It's Dream and Sun, Volume 2. Make sure you pre-order from your comic shop, or you're going to have to go to somewhere like an Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Write Stuff. That's for $12.99. Back to you, John. Hi guys, this is Don Fainer, a.k.a. Perseus on the forums. This is another manga pick here in the April previews catalog. This is on page 407 with Generation Witch, Volume 1. Here it says it's written by Isaki Uta, and art is by Isaki Uta. And the solicit says that it's an all-new manga series about the daily lives of teenage witches. Generation Witch is a new slice-of-life manga series with a magical twist. This charming storyline follows the lives of several young witches as they struggle with the dual challenges of wielding magic and teenage angst, and will appeal to fans of Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Witchcraft Works. And it says that in the world of Generation Witch, 1% of the population are witches. Most non-magical people look up to these witches and envy their power, but as witches already know, sometimes these abilities can be more of a curse. When growing up already requires all the luck and effort a teenage can muster, what happens when you throw spells, brooms, and bubbling cauldrons into the mix? That solicit just sounds like a whole lot of fun. And also, one of the key words in the solicit that caught my attention was slice of life. It's my favorite genre for manga. And also, if you read the solicit a little bit, it looks like it actually is similar to like a superhero. If you look up to a witch's powers, it's kind of similar how you look up to a superhero's powers. So that'll be a lot of fun. It's also about teenagers, so you could compare it also to something like an X-Men, or compare it like a Runaways or something of that nature. But it sounds like a great time. This is Volume 1, so anybody can check this out. Again, guys, feel free to pre-order this at your comic shop. A lot of this is from Seven Seas. They don't get a lot of their releases into regular comic shops, so feel free to pre-order this. And also check it out on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Write Stuff, DCBS. So again, Generation Witch, Volume 1 for $12.99. Back to you, John.
Hey guys, it's Drew with my final pick on page 422. This is in the Titan section, but it's specifically their Hard Case Crime imprint. This is Normandy Gold number 1, written by Allison Galen, Megan Abbott, with art by Steve Scott, and a cover by Cody Chamberlain. when her younger sister is found at the center of a brutal murder case. Tough-as-nails Sheriff Normandy Gold is forced to dive headfirst into the seedy world of 1970s prostitution. This comes out June 14th. It is $3.99 and continues a line of hard case crime imprint books that Titan's been putting out, a la Trigger Man, Peep Land, and The Assignment. These have been awesome. Great noir books, great crime books. If you're a fan of Brubaker and any of the stuff that he writes, you'll like this, I think. It's really top-notch and great stuff. So please check out Normandy Gold number 1 from Hard Case Crime and Titan Comics on page 422 in the preview section. And we'll talk to you next month.
And my final pick of the month is on page 446 from Valiant Entertainment. It is Secret Weapons number 1. Now, what we've got here is we've got Livewire, who had been a member of Unity, and we've seen her in a number of other books in the Valiant universe. She's assembling a new team. She's taking other psyots that have been activated, but also kind of ignored thereafter because, well, their powers just weren't that exciting. A young girl who can talk to birds. A boy who can make inanimate objects gently glow. Others like that. Kind of the more pedestrian or arguably useless superpowers. Livewire thinks they just need a good leader and they could be put to good use. I'm curious where they go with this. It seems like a fun concept. They've been doing some good stuff over at Valiant. So I'm definitely going to give this a try. Shows a lot of promise, I think. At least as a concept, we'll see how well they execute on it. They've got a pretty good track record there, though, so I'm not too worried about it. It is a $3.99 comic. It is a comic book page pick of the month, so we got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. Once again, that is Secret Weapons number 1 on page 446. Check it out.
Hi, guys. This is Don Fainer, a.k.a. Perseus on the forums. This is another manga pick I have in the April previews catalog. This here on page 457 in the vertical comic section is Flying Witch Volume 2. Now, I will read the solicit to this one. It says, Mikado returns to rural Japan to work on her magic after being away for 6 years. In her new home, she, along with her black cat, Cheeto, shares some of what she has learned as she gets used to living in a slower, more curious part of the country. Now, this is a slice-of-life manga. This is my favorite genre of manga, slice-of-life. I love just the laid-back atmosphere of a lot of slice-of-life titles. I have watched some of this anime, and it is very relaxing. It is very fun to watch some of the hijinks that the main character gets into. So I will be enjoying this one. If you like slice-of-life comics and you want to actually read some, come on over to the Japanese section and actually try some. You might actually enjoy some of them. But this is Flying Witch Volume 2, and it's for $10.95. Back to you, John. Hi, guys. This is Don Fanner, a.k.a. Perseus on the forums. Here in the April previews catalog, I'm doing one of my manga picks on page 459 in the Viz Media section. We have Golden Kamuy Volume 1, written by Satoru Noda, and art also by Satoru Noda. Let's just go and check out the solicit here. In the early 20th century, Russo-Japanese war veteran Saichi Immortal Sugimoto scratches out a meager existence during the post-war gold rush on the wild frontier of Hokkaido. When he stumbles across a map to a fortune in hidden iron and gold, he sets off on a treacherous quest to find it. But Sugimoto is not the only interested party, and everyone who knows about the gold will kill to possess it. Faced with the harsh conditions of the northern wilderness, ruthless criminals, and rogue Japanese soldiers, Sugimoto will need all his skills, and the luck and the help of an Aino girl named Asurpa to survive. This sounds like a great story. It sounds like one of those race to the treasure kind of stories, which I like. Has a nice historical setting also. So it sounds like a very good story. I'm very excited. I have done research on this manga, and it has been nominated for manga awards over in Japan. So it's going to be, I think, a good release. It is for mature audiences, so no kids on this one, just us adults. And it's for $12.99. Please pre-order this because a lot of comic shops do not carry a lot of manga. If you are interested in this, please pre-order it through your comic shop, DCBS. You can also pre-order through Amazon or Barnes & Noble. So let's get started with Golden Kamuy Volume 1, guys, and back to you, John.
Billy Hogan again, my 9th and final pick in this month's previews, comes all the way back on page 488 in the calendars section. with the Vintage DC Comics Superman 2018 12-month wall calendar. It's 11 by 15 inches, full color for $18.95. This is the latest in a series of Vintage DC Comics cover calendars done by Asgard Press. And what's neat about these calendars is once the year is over, the pages are perforated so you can tear them neatly off of the spiral binding so that you can frame them and hang them on your wall. Now, I've got a few of these already, but I don't have the wall space yet to be able to put them on my wall. But I still have them just for that occasion. Hopefully, I'll have a room of my own for all my comic book stuff. And if you're not a Superman fan, but rather a Batman fan, above it on the same page, there is a Vintage DC Comics Batman 12-month wall calendar for 2018. Or if you're looking for a calendar more for your desk, then on the previous page, there is a Vintage DC Comics 2018 desktop calendar for $14.95. So whichever way you want to go, if you love classic Golden and Silver Age DC comic book covers, try one of these vintage cover calendars from Asgard Press for 2018. I do want to note that if you get your comics through Discount Comic Book Service, they won't arrive with your June comic books. Instead, they will come with one of your shipments sometime during the fall. If you're ordering through your local comic book shop, I'm not sure if you'll get them any earlier. Check with them, and I want to mention that just for you to keep that in mind. Back to you, John, and thanks for providing this forum where we can all share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium.
Hello again, gang. This is Lucas coming to you from Dragon's Lair Comics and Collectibles, located out in Mililani, Hawaii. Just wanted to let you guys know that Saturday, May 6th, we'll be participating in Free Comic Book Day. We'll have a lot of local artists on hand, cosplayers, giveaways, and even prizes. So come down and check us out. Also, we'll be celebrating our 3 years of existence as a business that day. So it should be fun all around. Look forward to seeing you guys. Have a good one.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. I'm just doing my shout-out clip, you know, for the last Preview Spotlight episode. First off, I just want to thank Brawlinator. Brawlinator, thank you very much for the shout-out, you know, when you're talking about the Image 25th anniversary boxes. Now, you know, I agree with you, you know, that for the 500 blind boxes, it should contain a complete Negan origin story. Not half, a complete one. You know, for customers who are paying, you know, like $200 or more per box. So, you know, again, Brawlinator, I agree with you. It should have a complete Negan origin story in those boxes. And, you know, John, you know, I wanna say, you know, I love your clip that you did for the Star Trek The Next Generation miniseries. You know, that was great. You know, I love the quartet in the background, singing the or humming the Next Generation theme song while you were recording your clip. That was awesome. That was really fun. You know, and you know, I just want to also welcome, you know, a couple people to the Preview Spotlight episodes. I want to welcome James Rayner. He's Junior Phoenix on the forum. You know, James, welcome to the Preview Spotlight episode. You know, I look forward to hearing, you know, more of your recommendation in future episodes. So, you know, please, you know, keep those recommendations coming in. And Don Fainer, Perseus on the forum, you know, again, welcome to the Preview Spotlight episode. I look forward to hearing, you know, your recommendation in future episodes. You know, and I want to welcome back Alan. Alan, welcome back, you know, to the Preview Spotlight episodes. It was great hearing your recommendations. You know, it's great hearing your recommendations in the last episode. Again, I want to thank everybody, you know, for listening to my clips. And I look forward to hearing everyone's recommendation. You know, until next month, aloha!
So normally, before I start editing the episode, I've done a first pass on my order form. And I didn't have a chance to do that this time. I've been working on some other stuff in my proverbial spare time. So, technically, the number of items I added while editing this episode was all of them.
and I've found quite a few things to my liking. I think somewhere around 222 items, which means I'm not doing a very good job cutting back. And the average price of them is $2.75 after discount, etc., etc., which means I don't really have many big ticket items to cut out if I want to drop this price or this grand total, which right now is sitting at about $610 exactly after bags, boards, etc. Haven't factored in the bundles. That'll maybe save me probably a little under $30. But really, the big ticket item I have is the Overstreet price guide, and I've been getting that for decades, so I'm not going to stop now. The only other thing I have over $5 is back issue this time around, which looks really cool, so I'm getting that. And I only have like 5 things that are over $3. Miraculous, Brawlinator talked me into that Marvel Comics Digest. I'll try that first one out, see how that is. That Star Trek New Visions Time Out of Joint that I mentioned. The Supergirl Being Super that I think Drew mentioned. And that Hasbro Heroes source book. I've gotten out of the Hasbro line, but the source book I'll get. I mean, everything else is just a regular comic, and part of it is, again, I'm getting too many. So a few of these things are ending with this month. The Deep, one or two of the miniseries I think are ending. So that'll help, like Doc Savage Ring of Fire is ending. A couple of things I'm getting just to kind of sample. But clearly I'm having no problem finding things I want, which frankly in and of itself is a problem. But like the Batman 66 meets Wonder Woman 77 is ending. I believe the Justice League Power Rangers is ending. There's a ton of one-shots. Again, the Legion of Superheroes Bugs Bunny special and stuff. Those are some of the more expensive things I'm getting. So, I mean, it'll figure itself out, but I need to spend a little bit more time figuring out where I want to make some cuts and stuff, just because, again, I'm having a hard time keeping up. And part of that is I've got a few other side projects I'm working on. But, I mean, hopefully everybody else found stuff they like. There's plenty of good things out there. It's just a matter of finding what's right for you. And what's right for me may or may not be what's right for you and vice versa. That's part of why I like having so many different people contribute to these episodes. It's a ton of fun. It's a quite a bit of work, but it pays off, I think, if it helps people find comics they enjoy. So I want to thank Alan, Billy, Chris, Don, Drew, Jason, Jerry, Michael, and Todd for sending in clips. They sent a total of 50 clips this time around, so really good turnout. I'm very happy with all of that. Michael had commented on you know, how unique this episode is, and I think it is unique, and it's one of the things that, you know, again, I'm trying to give back to the comic book community as best I can, and this is one of the ways I try to do that. But really, these episodes, it comes down to you guys. It's the clips you send in that make them what they are. So thank you guys for participating, for sending in the clips, and if you couldn't do it this time, hey, try next month, or if you can't do it next month, try the month after. Just send in like a clip over the course of the year or whatever. If all the listeners do that, we'll have a pretty wide-ranging set of viewpoints and tastes reflected in this, and hopefully that can get a couple of people on board, a few titles they're not. Who knows, maybe that'll be enough to keep some titles around. I want to thank Brawlinator for posting the links to the online solicits on the forum and stuff. That's a big help. That's one less thing that I have to do, and I really appreciate it because it's getting to where the timeline of when stuff has to be done for the preview spotlight, when stuff has to get done for the mail report and a few other things going on is all overlapping, and it's keeping me pretty busy. But it's all good, it's all fun, and hopefully, like I said, you guys are getting some good stuff out of both these episodes and all the others on the podcast. Now, next week, on Saturday, April 15th, 2017, at 7 p.m. Central Time, is going to be the next Comic Book Page teleconference. Looking forward to that. We always have a good discussion. Sometimes it's a bunch of people, sometimes it's just a few. But if you can make it, it's on Skype. Let us know what you're thinking, and let's talk comics, movies, toys, games, you know, whatever. It's basically an open discussion forum, and I always enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. DCBS orders are going to be due, I believe, on April 26th. That is a Wednesday. That's also the Wednesday that the next previews is released. The deadline for that preview spotlight is going to be Saturday, May 6th, bright and early in the morning, or as bright and early as I can crawl out of bed. And then the following Comic Book Page teleconference will be
that Saturday, May 13th at 7 p.m. Central. So hopefully you all can make it to the one on the 15th. I do realize it's Easter weekend, but that's just kind of how the timeline works out on this stuff. If there was a better way to get the timeline set up on this, believe me, I'd be all for it. It's just having it a week after the preview stuff usually helps because it means I guarantee don't have previews and the teleconference going on the same weekend. And I'm recording this right now at about 8:40 in the evening. I've spent most of the day working on either the episode, crunching the numbers, filling out my order, or getting a low tire fixed. I had a nail in one of my tires. That was a lot of fun to go spend some time at the car dealership. But, hey, whatever. At least it wasn't a flat tire that stranded me somewhere, so I'll count my blessings on that. Like I said, hopefully everybody found something. There was a ton of great stuff in the previews catalog this time around, as there always is. Keep in mind, we have an open submission policy. Encourage the people at the stores you shop at, your other friends that are into comics and stuff that listen to the podcast, and if they don't recommend the podcast to them, please let them listen. But get the word out, because again, the more people we have sending in clips, the more different kinds of things are going to get mentioned, and there's so much stuff hiding in previews, it's easy to miss it, and again, that's why I do these episodes. So, with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.